I'm Chuck Osborne.
And I'm Michael Smith. Welcome to our podcast, which is presented by Assured Partners Investment Advisors,
where we talk investing and all things related in a way you can understand.
Woo-hoo!
Hi, this is Chuck.
This is Michael. It's Tuesday, September 8th, 2025. It's the 22nd episode of our podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Chuck, what's on your mind today?
Jobs, Michael. Jobs. We're not creating enough jobs.
That was not a great report we saw, was it?
No, it was not. Yeah, and we've already been talking about this. You know, we had talked about last month that, you know, in the last 24 months, now 25, there's only been four times when, six times when we've created over 200,000 jobs. And I know a lot of economists doubt that's the magic number anymore, but historically, that's been the magic number for the United States, is that you need to create 200,000 jobs every month, because we always have new people joining the workforce, people graduating from school, coming of age. We have immigrants, legal immigrants coming into the country. And we have people who have lost jobs. So you have a natural turnover. And that has historically been the magic number. And we are not hitting that number. And as of Friday, the data that came out is they're projecting that we only had 22,000 jobs added in the month of August, and June was actually revised negative.
Yeah, we actually had a negative one, right?
Yep. So, you know, according to the data right now, we actually lost jobs in June. Regardless of, you know, and there, I know there's been questions about how accurate those numbers really are, and, you know, and we've shot the messenger last month, and it didn't really help the message get any better.
Yeah, this has gotten no better.
You know, regardless of all of that, the trend is definitely the job market is slowing, and we are not creating jobs.
Yeah, I think there's no way to say that. That's absolutely accurate. I mean, it's a weak number. Now, I guess my argument on that, I would say this two ways. One is, there's a little something different in the last few months than there have been historically in the changes to immigration, and that causing these numbers to be funky in that, I don't know, I read something from one of the feds that there could be, you know, 1.6 million immigrants that have left the job market in the last few months. And so in those moments, that does make that jobs added number a little harder to wrap one's head around against the importance of how that really is to the big thing of how strong the economy is as a whole. Because at this point, there's still some strength out there, it looks like, in the economy. Now, that can change quickly. But when you have that many immigrants leaving the job market, it does make that number different. Now, the question is, there's the longer term demographics of is 200 make sense? And that's a different argument, in my opinion, than you happen to have immigration playing havoc maybe in the specific job, you know, non-farms payroll number month over month.
Yeah, Michael, I mean, I understand that point, and that some of this may be influenced by the crackdown on immigration, and you have, and as we know, there are people being deported. We also know that there are people who have not been deported who are voluntarily leaving because they're afraid, or they no longer feel welcome, and whether that's right or wrong is a topic for a different podcast than ours, but yeah. We don't get into those things. But from a sheer economic standpoint, it's still the data is what the data is. And so if you have an economy that is only the size of the United States, that added as few as 22,000 jobs in the month. You know, again, we got June actually got revised negative. That means the economic activity is slowing down, and I don't think there's any way to, you know, I think that there's any way to sugarcoat that. And you know, from our perspective, what that does is it also impacts, you know, it impacts how you're going to invest. All right. I also think, you know, the other elephant in the room, you've got the situation with immigration, but we can't ignore the tariff situation either. Because, you know, when you break down the jobs, the worst two places or sectors in the economy were manufacturing and transportation, you know. And so, you know, in the transportation is you're talking about, you know, port workers, you're talking about, you know, stevedores, people loading and unloading ships. You're talking about truck drivers. You're talking about everyone who moves all of this international commerce around the country. And they actually saw a loss of jobs, I think 12,000 down. I think both of them were 12,000 down. And manufacturing, you know, also lost jobs. So again, the kind of the laws of economics are still undefeated, whether people want to face with them or not. And, you know, this actual tariff policy is not going to cause inflation. It is going to cause a slowdown in the economy. It's going to cause a reduction in both demand and supply. And it's going to cost Americans jobs. It's not going to gain jobs. And that's, you know, that's what we've been saying all along. That's what's happening. So,
no, I agree. And then, yep. Then the question for me too becomes, and I think we've talked some about this too, is the idea of an economic slowdown versus a recession, right? And we've already seen an economic slowdown. That's already occurred. We know that's happening. It's clear in the data. Although, to be fair, GDP now is looking at 3% right now for the current quarter. So that's better than, you know, so, but still,
yeah.
The real question that in my mind is going here is this jobs data signaling a recessionary impulse here? You know, something breaking versus are we slowing? And, you know, when I look through the rest of the data, you know, you've got so much CapEx occurring from a lot of the AI build out. That's huge still. And that's net positive for the economy.
Yeah.
GDP now looks solid. You've got some other data points that still look solid. So I'm not, in my mind, I'm not pushing, I think this is recessionary yet, but there's no doubt that it's a negative for economic growth any way you look at it.
Well, here's the thing, Michael. Like I said, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, the rule of thumb definition of a recession is two quarters in a row of negative GDP growth. Obviously, we don't have that. You know, we had negative growth technically in the first quarter. Again, all of that was really skewed by trade. We had now on the second estimate was 3.3% growth in the second quarter. Again, that's skewed by trade. But really what you have to do is you kind of average those out. And we are growing somewhere between, you know, 1.25% and 1.5%, you know, in the first half of this year. So we're not that far away from zero. And, you know, we are slowing and we're continuing to slow. You know, it's interesting. A lot of talking heads talk about labor always being a trailing indicator or a late indicator of where we are. But in my experience, that has not been the case. You know, the first bad jobs report during the financial crisis came in January. It did not come, you know, in the summer of 08, when we really had, you know, kind of the bottom of the economic activity. We were still in economic growth when jobs started to, you know, to fall apart. And in my just anecdotal experience, this has actually always been a leading indicator of the direction of the economy. Now, whether or not, I mean, do we limp along at, you know, 1%, or do we actually go into recession? I don't know. I'm not sure from an investing standpoint or from a public perception standpoint, those things matter.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know, George Herbert Walker Bush, to a large extent, I mean, there were other issues. There was Ross Perot, et cetera, but he lost the election to a large extent in 92 because he said very correctly that we aren't technically in a recession, while his opponent, Bill Clinton, very astutely went out there and said, "I feel your pain." And so at some level, does it really matter if the academics decide that this was a real recession or not? If the economy is slowing and things are slowing down, then that's going to have an impact. Now, to me, the big silver lining here, Michael, are the courts. Because as we've talked about, and you already kind of, you know, suggested, there's really three arrows, borrow the old Japanese prime minister's term, in Trump's economic agenda. And the most notable of which have been the tariffs. That's where, and again, the laws of economics tell us that's a big negative on economic growth, regardless of what people want to believe. I mean, that's just the reality. But you got two big positives as well. You've got regulatory reform and you've got tax reform. Both of those are going to be stimulative to the economy. And now we've got a situation, which at the beginning of last week is what we thought would be the big talking point, is the courts are going to remind the president that he doesn't actually have the power to just unilaterally design trade policy for the United States, that power is actually in Congress, not in the president. So that's going to be very interesting if all of a sudden these tariffs go away and, you know, the knee-jerk reaction to that might be some volatility just because markets don't like uncertainty. But in the long run, that's a boost to, you know, and that's a boost on top of the other two elements of his, you know, his agenda, which should be actually support economic growth. So we'll see, you know, that's something to think about.
Well, the negative about that, it's not even a negative, it's just the timing. The issue there is that could go on longer than I would love it to go on in a perfect world. You know, how quickly they actually get to it is kind of one of the potential negatives of it. But regardless, that being, if it goes that way, that's obviously going to be very good for the economy as a whole.
Well, I understand your point, Michael, but we can't get too wrapped up in getting onto Wall Street timing, like things have to happen tomorrow. You know, we don't want to be those reporters who, you know, 3 months after the tariffs have gone into place, start asking why we aren't in a recession yet, even though we know we need at least 6 months of data to declare it a recession. And, you know, the reality is, Yeah, in Wall Street terms, yes, it may take a while for them. I'm not exactly sure when the Supreme Court actually comes back into session. I think it may be in October. You know, the president has asked them to expedite this.
Expedite it, yeah.
So, you know, so hopefully that happens soon. But I mean, even if it happens, you know, sometime at the beginning of next year, in the real world, that's not that long.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You know, yes, that's forever as far as Wall Street's concerned. Yeah. But on Main Street, you know, that's not really that long. And so,
well, you're getting comments from who knows how real this is. You're getting comments and stories that it's that a year would not be out of bounds for how long it could take, even with an expedited ask
a case
from
like
the
this.
President. So who knows, though? You know.
Yeah, may I don't, and it'd be interesting for us to look. I didn't research that ahead of time, but it, you know, I'm not. I don't recall how long it took the Supreme Court to rule on the forgiveness of student debt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but this to me, I mean, it's a very similar case. I mean, you just and you know, this is a bigger story than just, you know, this one podcast. But we've got a real issue in our country where people don't are no longer being taught basic civics. They don't know how our government is actually structured and how it's actually supposed to work. And it has, you know, it hasn't been working the way it's actually meant to work for, you know, a large part of the last 20 years, at least. And the at some point we need Congress to actually start acting like Congress again, and to remember that they're the ones that actually, you know, make the laws and determine the big picture policy. And that's very important from an investor standpoint, because again, we're investors, we're not traders. We want to invest for the long haul. And when you're investing for the long haul, you need stability, and you need stability of, you need to know generally what the laws are, and they can't just change every 4 years or every, you know, even eight years if you know a president gets, you know, two administrations. You know, I know our system is slow and painful, and if you feel strongly about, you know, some policy or some issue, you're just so frustrated that you can't get laws passed quickly enough. But that is actually one of the big secrets to the success of the United States, is that it does take a long time, and you do have to compromise, and you do have to do all these things that aren't popular today, and that we need to go back to Congress actually making laws as opposed to presidents making executive orders. And, you know, and that's a bigger picture here. But, you know, I think there's a extremely high probability that the Supreme Court is going to rule the same way for Trump as they did for Biden. And that is to say that the president does not have the right to just unilaterally forgive loans. He does not have the right to just, you know, make trade policy, you know, without any input from Congress or getting it through Congress.
Well, and that stability is unbelievably important. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, this is always, you don't know how this really is, but why it has been so good to invest in our companies here in the U.S., that's a big piece of it. You're in a legally stable area where you understand what property rights are, and someone's not going to steal your property as a company. And maybe another politician prior to this wasn't forcing people to give them a part of ownership in a company, right? I mean, there's big changes that are happening potentially in those things that over the long term could make the United States a less, you know, not as good of a place to invest. And if you're a company and if you're a person trying to invest in general, so it's it's very interesting to see all these changes and how all that could mean. It's a short amount of time so far, but if it keeps on going, it's not going to be good for that. I don't think.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and it's playing a toll. You know, another article in the Wall Street Journal came out last week about, you know, Americans that the Wall Street Journal, along with another organization, did a poll on people's optimism or pessimism for the future. And we are living through a record level of U.S. pessimism. You know, one of the defining qualities of being an American is that we are relentlessly optimistic people. And any of us who, and I've had this experience personally, and it was a great experience in my life, but I got to actually work in Europe for a while. And that is, and when you actually do that, and you don't just go over there as a tourist, but you actually spend time there and you actually get to know locals, you start to realize that there really is a difference in the mindset, that, you know, we are more optimistic about the future here. And there's plenty of reasons for that. But the, a lot of that goes to the fact that, you know, as we've said in the past, most of our politics have been played between the 40-yard lines. And, you know, our system is designed so that actual change has to take a long period of time, and that you have to actually get through a Congress, and even in Congress, you have to be able to compromise, because you're never, especially nowadays, it's almost always pretty evenly split. And then the Senate is definitely designed, you know, for to do anything meaningful, you need 2/3. And that's on design, you know, and that's meant to make sure that we make changes slowly and thoughtfully, which I realize is frustrating to zealots who are really, you know, gung-ho about whatever change they want to make. But that frustration is actually what has led to the stability of the United States and a lot of our long-term success. And it's the reason we are the longest lasting form of democracy. And I don't want to get into that. Are we a democracy or a constitutional republic? And of course, we are a constitutional republic, which is a form of democracy. We're the longest lasting in history. You know, we've outlasted the Greeks, we've outlasted the Romans. Even though we're a very young country, if you want to go back, we are actually the oldest form of government that's around today. And it's because of that. It's because it takes a long time to get things done.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably a great place to leave it. You know, as always, if anybody has anything you want to hear from us, any comments, let us know. We're happy to do that. We'll be back again in about a month. You know, interestingly, we're about to get some big inflation data, so we'll see if inflation is the big story this month or not. So,
We shall see. But my money's on the economy slowing as opposed to heating up and having inflation. I don't know where you want to stand, Michael.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, we'll play this back after the data comes out. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Chuck Osborne and Michael Smith are investment advisors, representative of Assured Partners Investment Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor. All statements and opinions expressed in this program are based upon information considered reliable, although statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information expressed does not consider the specific situation or objectives of any person and is not intended as a recommendation appropriate for any person. Viewers are encouraged to seek advice from a tax or legal professional or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed.